You are listening to Do You Believe in Magic on OTG and Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Be sure to follow us on iTunes by searching Do You Believe in Magic and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Magic fans? Welcome to Do You Believe in Magic? I'm your host, credentialed member of the media, and contributor to OrlandoPinstripedPost.com, Preston Ellis. And today we're talking about a variety of stuff. We're talking about the Magic's recent trades for Jarrell Martin. We're talking about some grades for the offseason. To help us, we're first talking to Mr. Aaron Goldstone. How are you doing, sir?
Good, good. How are you, Preston? What about all these cash considerations, man? It's awesome. Cash money.
So much money for the Orlando Magic. They're going to be rolling in it. Also, we have William Ogburn with us. He has muted himself. There he is. He's back. What's going on, Will?
I'm doing great, man. Just as we all know, the thing that the bosses need more is money. They're really hurting, and I understand that this economy is really getting to them. So glad that we could all be part of that struggle with them.
Yeah, definitely good for those guys. Get the money while you can. Again, you can follow these guys at Aaron Goldstone, at Go So Hard. Zach Oliver is not joining us today, unfortunately, you guys, but he will be back with us next week. Of course, you can follow this podcast at DYB and Magic, and we all write for the Orlando Pinstriped Post, so why don't you follow OPP Magic Blog if you're not already. All right, let's get started with this trade. Let's get this out of the way. Of course, the Magic first sent Rodney Purvis to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Dakari Johnson. And he was with the Magic for all of 3 days before they sent him to Memphis for Jarrell Martin. Now, this was kind of a cash clearing move for the Memphis Grizzlies. They're looking to shed some salary. And Dakari Johnson for Jarrell Martin saves them about $1.3 million as Dakari is on the $1.3 minimum. Jarrell Martin is slated to make $2.4 this year, and the Magic now have a team option next year for $3.5. He was 25th in the 2015 draft. It's his fourth season, 36 games played, 23 minutes per game last year, 8 points, 4.5 rebounds, 34% 3-point shooter, 6'10". Aaron, you wrote up about him. What can you tell us about Jarrell Martin?
Well, first of all, I thought it was just a really solid deal that made a lot of sense for the Magic. You know, they took Rodney Purvis, who we all on this podcast have been talking about for a few weeks, was probably in danger of not making the team next year because of just kind of his lackluster play last year. Had a really quiet summer league and had that non-guaranteed contract. So, you know, Weltman and Hammond were able to take that and flip that for Johnson and then flip Johnson for Martin. And you know, this is not like a home run deal or anything, but Jarrell Martin very well could and probably will get minutes in Orlando's regular rotation next year. And, you know, you can't say that about Rodney Purvis, the guy that wasn't even going to, you know, probably make the team. So I think just that in itself, you know, is pretty solid. You know, he's a little undersized, a little kind of off-brand, if you will, you know, for Weltman and Hammond. You know, doesn't have the longest reach or wing. But, you know, from what I've read and seen about him, very athletic, kind of plays above the rim, has no problem, you know, running the floor, you know, grabbing, you know, the basketball off the boards and starting a fast break himself. Kind of a tweener 3-4, if we've ever heard that before, with like every other forward the Magic have ever had. But he is going to be someone the Magic will get a look at for a year, and then he'll be a restricted free agent next summer. So overall, a pretty solid deal. And like you said, Preston, I think he does have an emerging 3-point shot. He doesn't have like, you know, a knockdown 3-point shot, but it's getting better. And, you know, that's probably going to be his calling card in the NBA. So we'll see what happens.
Before we get to Will, just some more details. This is from Bobby Marks of ESPN. Just some details about the financial aspect. The Magic collected $2 million for Oklahoma City, $1 million from Memphis, and will get a $358,000 set off at the end of the year as a result of the likely Shelvin Mack signing in Memphis. So in total, they save $1 million plus they get rid of Rodney Purvis in exchange for Jarrell Martin. Now, this part's weird, Will. The Magic waived and stretched Shelvin Mack, so they owe him $1 million, I think, over the next 3 years. No, they owe him $300,000 for the next 3 years. So that was a bit puzzling on on my part. I was a bit confused by that. Why not just get all that off the books now? But for whatever reason, they must have a plan for it. Here's my question to you, Will. The Magic are kind of set at their front court. They've got, you know, some version of Aaron Gordon and Jonathan Isaac and Kem Birch at power forward. They've got Nikola Vucevic and Mo Bamba at center, as well as Timothy Mozgov, who probably won't play a minute. Or who knows, maybe Steve Clifford will start him.
I'm telling you, man, be ready for it.
So, obviously, Jarrell Martin is worth taking a flyer. He's a good basketball player and, in all likelihood, a rotational player. But is there a place for him in this lineup that now has seven big men in it, Will?
Believe it or not, I actually think there is. So quick little aside on Jarrell Martin. I actually remember exactly where I was when he committed to LSU. He was a huge recruit coming out of high school, and I think that he lived up to that in Baton Rouge. And the thing is, like, he has kind of Aaron really broke him down. You know, just as soon as I think I have some intel, man, Aaron just is right there with me. I thought I could get ahead of him for a second. But no, I mean, I think he did a really great job breaking him down. The thing that I think he works really well with this team is that, like Aaron said, he's sneaky athletic. He kind of looks a little bit like Julius Randle-ish in that he looks kind of like doughy. He doesn't look very fast, but you watch him play, and I remember watching him play a ton in college, and he's very, like, sneaky athletic. A lot of his plays are around the rim. He's very crafty around the rim, and he's great in fast breaks too. So I think that, like, he is a perfect for me. I mean, you know, perfect is like an all-star obviously, but he's a great backup for Aaron Gordon. Cause I think that he can come in the game and play a very similar style as far as rim running, as far as like lobs, as far as that kind of stuff. And like Aaron said as well, his 3-point shot has come along, something he didn't really have at all in college. He's now developed in his like limited time in the NBA. He's been like a little bit of a slow developer. He was 23 last year. But I mean, that's kind of what you're expecting out of the 25th pick. What was he last year from three? Yeah, he was 36 and then 35% from three. So not fantastic, but hey, better than Aaron Gordon. So like, I think that you can pretty much do the same things that you could do. And I think that, you know, we talked about how these guys are going to fit together, but at the end of the day, you know, you want to have a true backup, I think, to Aaron Gordon, to where Isaac can play and not have to fill AG's role. And I think that in that way, like, obviously to me, Isaac is like, can play the backup four, but it's nice to have another guy out there that has that kind of similar skill set. That's just, you know, he's not a true long boy, but he can get up and down the court. He can cause some matchup problems. So I think he really fits in this team.
All right. Before we grade this, I've got a question for Aaron. The Magic have now allotted all 15 of their slots. DJ Augustin, Jerian Grant, Isaiah Briscoe at point guard, small forward Evan Fournier, Wesley Iwundu, Melvin Frazier Jr., small forward Terrence Ross, Jonathan Simmons, power forward Aaron Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, Jarrell Martin, center Nikola Vucevic, Timothy Mozgov, Mo Bamba, and Kem Birch. At this point, with the exception of maybe Isaiah Briscoe and Melvin Frazier Jr., Aaron, it looks like Steve Clifford might be utilizing 13 players per game. Obviously, you can't play all 15. Some of the guys, not everyone can dress. But with that being said, Aaron, are we going to see like one of the longest rotational benches in the NBA this season in Orlando?
I don't think so, because I mean, you can't fit that many, you know, starting off obviously with the centers, you can't fit that many guys into a rotation. You know, Mozgov.
Oh, don't you worry. You will be amazed. We're going to run a five-center lineup, my man. It's happening.
If Magic fans have their way, you know, hopefully he's not going to see the floor. I believe Clifford's quote was he's like an old-school traditional NBA center. So if the Magic play teams with old-school traditional centers, then, you know, he would lean on him. But, you know, somebody out of the Kem Birch and Mozgov, you know, duo is going to be out of minutes, and that could all be solved maybe, like we said last podcast, with the Vucevic trade at some point later on in the year. But also, you know, Melvin Frazier, I expect to be in Lakeland most of the year. You know, the good thing about signing Frazier to a guaranteed contract this year and not a two-way contract is there's no, you know, strict requirement on Orlando's part to keep him up or down for a certain amount of games. So, you know, I think he's going to get plenty of time and looks in Lakeland. He's just not, you know, an NBA player, I don't think, at this point. Unfortunately, Iwundu is probably going to have to play up. just because there's a lack of depth on the wings, but he's probably not. He's a fringe NBA player as well. And I don't see Briscoe, honestly, getting a lot of minutes. He might be in Lakeland as well, or maybe he'll just be a guy at the end of the bench. I mean, somebody's got to be the 11th or 12th man. But we're talking about somebody that didn't play point guard in college. He played off the ball at Kentucky. Played 1 year point guard in Latvia, which is like pretty low-level EuroLeague stuff. And now he just made a jump to the NBA. So, you know, we haven't seen a minute of him, and I don't expect a lot from him. So I think he'll settle in with like a nine or 10 man rotation, and then just go from there. I mean, it's nice to have depth. You know, we all saw what happened with the Magic last year with injuries and stuff like that. And so, you know, picking up a guy like Jaren Grant or Jarrell Martin, that really helps with you know, just depth, you know, because the end of the Magic bench, when we were looking at a one-two, Purvis, Briscoe, I mean, those are like fringe NBA players at best. So at least I think this summer the Magic have improved their overall roster when we're not rostering so many players that are arguably not even NBA talent players.
All right, I've got a follow-up question for Will, but I think I'm going to save it for later. Let's just continue with that line of thinking for now, Will. It looks like there's 15 guys who are capable of playing or at least giving minutes, or guys that you at least want to develop at this point of the season. How many of these guys get consistent minutes with the Orlando Magic early on in the season before they make a decision whether or not they're chasing that eighth seed or full-blown tanking?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key point in the season to me is if Vooch gets traded. I mean, even going back to Jarrell Martin, I think that once those minutes are freed up, I think that the team fits a little bit differently. I mean, I think that, you know, as we've talked about, it'll go from a team without Vooch. You know, they're going to be a slower pace when Vooch is there. They're going to run, I think, a little bit more half court. But if he gets moves, I mean, we have a ton of athletic guys. And I think the key to beating teams is just going to be running dudes in, kind of like a defensive line. Just like, okay, well, we have a bunch of dudes who have a similar skill set. The thing that we have over them is that they're tired. So we're just going to throw these dudes out there. I think that one thing is, again, as Aaron noted, they're a little bit thin on the wing. It wouldn't surprise me if they're a couple of, like, 2 point guard lineups. With Grant and Augustine. So like for that reason, it wouldn't surprise me that much if Briscoe gets in there as kind of a backup to that, if that makes sense. Because like obviously there's Ross and Fournier, but Fournier doesn't do great at the two. So I could see Briscoe actually playing a little bit this year just to kind of get a look at him. But yeah, I mean that's the thing, is like so many of these minutes I think are up for a battle. I think it's always a good thing to have too. It means that obviously and the Magic have really been, like, especially in the late part of this free agency period, they've been really active as far as pursuing deals. And I think that they're going to be evaluating the roster. So I think it's nothing but a good thing that they can have all these guys in practices, all these guys in camp, and they can see like, okay, well, this guy's good at this, so we can use him in this situation. We might actually have a guy who can inbound the ball. Imagine that. Of one of those guys. Maybe there's one of them who's in. Maybe that's Isaiah Briscoe. Maybe his whole job is to inbound the ball, and I would be stoked, let me tell you. But no, I think that like that's huge. And I think that like Clifford is pretty good at getting the best out of guys like situationally. So I think that there will be some gadget uses for these guys that he can maximize.
So last season with the Charlotte Hornets, only 9 of the Hornets players played more than 60 games. So even though on paper it looked like a developmental year and you want to get like a full look at guys like Willie Hernangómez and Trevion Graham, a lot of those guys didn't see the minutes that you would think you would see from a rebuilding squad. And so too, the Magic are kind of in an interesting spot here in that with their starting five, DJ Augustin, Evan Fournier, and Terrence Ross, Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Vucevic, they could get out to a hot start. And at that point, you're kind of stuck. How many minutes can you give to your young guys, Jonathan Isaac, Jarrell Martin, and Mo Bamba? And that's why I want to continue this conversation. We're going to get to Steve Clifford's impact and Josh Robbins' interview with him. But before we do that, let's just do some grades, Aaron. So out, Shelvin Mack, Rodney Purvis, Aaron Aflalo, Mo Space, Bismack Biyombo, and 2 second-round picks, as well as Jamel Artist. In, Mo Bamba, Jaren Grant, Isaiah Briscoe, Melvin Frazier, Jarrell Martin, Tim Mozgov, Troy Calpe in that two-way, and also about $1 million in cash. So what is your grade for the Orlando Magic offseason?
Yeah, and I made that tweet, and I actually, you know, some people in the comments reminded me. I forgot to also mention out Frank Vogel in Steve Clifford. I mean, that happened so early in the summer that I wasn't even really associating that with summer, but also out Mario Hezonja. I forgot to mention that as well. All in all, you know, I do think it was a pretty solid summer. I mean, Lohman and Hammond didn't have a ton to work with. They had the sixth pick and like the mid-level exception, basically. I mean, this was a franchise that basically going into the summer was not ever expected to be a player in free agency or anything. And look, I know people were really disappointed about the way the whole Isaiah Thomas thing played out, but in free agency, you just never know behind the scenes how much the other player actually wants to come to Orlando and wants to play for the Magic. Maybe some of the Instagram and Twitter likes and follows and some of that stuff was overblown. We don't really know, you know, at this point if Isaiah Thomas wanted to play for the Magic and Wellman didn't want him or vice versa. So, you know, I'm not going to hold that against them. I think they got great value at number six with Bamba. Like we just mentioned, they were able to acquire Martin for basically nothing. They were able to get off of Bismack Biyombo's contract. And look, I get it. They got somebody else that has the same money, same years, and Mozgov, but they were able to get a look at Jerry and Grant, not a starting point guard, but at least a little bit of another option at a position of need. So, look, they made chicken salad, I think, out of chicken, you know what, and at minimum, I'm thinking it was a B, you know, it was an above average summer, I think, for Orlando's new management.
What a teacher phrase. I love it.
Will, continue in with that. We also forgot Justin Jackson, the other second round pick. They had the 35th and the 41st, and they moved down two spots to the 43rd pick, Will. So make sure to include him. What overall grade do you give the Magic?
That Justin Jackson thing totally swings my opinion, actually. Hold on.
I figure. That's why I had to mention it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, you know, people, and I was going through this too, pretty impatient with how things started off pretty slow. But, you know, it's a very good point about they didn't really have much space to work with. They were a little bit hamstrung there. And the team got better. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. I kind of wish they would have kept Shelvin Mack instead of doing all this, like, ridiculous point guard shuffling. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that they've made their whole mantra, like, we're not going to get finessed for a point guard. So once you, like, get out in front of that and say, like, all right, well, we want a good point guard. However, we will not be finessed for one. It looks like that deal just didn't materialize. And I think that, like, they have added a lot of good players. And, like, I mean, they've turned over, like, almost this entire roster except for, what, like, four guys kind of, like, in terms of guys that play. So that's pretty crazy that they've done that in really, like, 2 years, year and a half type of timeline. So, yeah, like – we're going to, I think, see more, and even the coach too. So I think we're going to see more of, like, what a Weltham team looks like. Because, I mean, they've been a little bit cold and callous with some of their moves, but at the end of the day, like, they have a vision in their heads. And we always talk about with the Pelicans, like, Del Demps wanted to build this team and he never got a chance to do that. I think it's really important to have a vision as a front office. And if that vision is a billion long boys and, like, two point guards, that's fine. Like, do that then, and we'll see if it works. So I think that, you know, the team isn't very good, but they weren't going to be very good anyway. I love Bamba, and I think that, you know, this is the most improvement maybe I've seen in an offseason. Let me think about that. Yeah, because, I mean, signing Ibaka actually kind of hurt the team. So, yeah, no, I think this is a huge offseason. Like I said, if – I mean, they're not going to be dumb like they were that year and come out and say we're going to make the playoffs. So really, I think it's huge to evaluate all these guys. And, like, if half of these guys who weren't – that's the thing. None of these guys are gambles, because to gamble, you have to put up something. I feel like very few of these guys we had to put up assets to take this risk on. So if, like, you know, a third of these guys hit, like, let's say that Martin's nice and maybe Briscoe's nice and, like, a couple of these guys that we're not expecting. Let's say that Melvin Frazier's nice. Well, then, boom, we've come out way ahead versus our costs.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely was disappointed. You guys have both mentioned Isaiah Thomas, some other guys that they could have pursued, Yogi Ferrell, Seth Curry, Shabazz Napier, and I like Will's point. They didn't have to move on from Shelvin Mack. By moving on from Shelvin Mack and saving themselves $5, they cost themselves 2 second-round picks to save $1 million over the next 2 years, and then they get to take a flyer on Jerian Grant. And should Jerian Grant work out, then obviously they would look a lot better than they probably do at this moment in time. But he is a body, a combo guard who should be able to manage his bench minutes pretty well. We'll have to see. And with that, let's go ahead and move on to Steve Clifford, because as important as Kemba Walker was with the Charlotte Hornets, what made them, I don't want to say so efficient, because obviously they did struggle as far as efficiency goes, but what made them so dependable, such careful takers of the basketball. I'm not sure how I'm using my words at this point in time. Obviously they were best in turnovers the past 4 years, but they managed the offense very well. They were very fundamentally sound. They utilized multiple actions, both on and off ball, leading them to be one of the more disciplined teams in the NBA. And should Steve Clifford bring that to Orlando, a team that doesn't turn the ball over, something that the Magic have been struggling with for the past few years, he's going to clean all that up. They're going to be the best defensive rebounding team. They're probably going to be at least top 15 in defense based on his track record. He plays with a slower pace, but he improved to top 10 last year, and in offensive rebounding improved last year to top 15. So the things that he was struggling with, he's getting better at, Aaron. What kind of effect do you think Steve Clifford has on this Magic roster? And do you think that the Magic might surprise us coming out of the gate and possibly contend for a playoff spot? Obviously not a home playoff top four seeding, but could the Magic potentially through December be one of the teams in the mix for the 8 playoff spot?
They could be. I mean, you look at how the team started last year, you know, so hot out of the gate. And then obviously, you know, things kind of came back to as expected. But, you know, the Magic went through a lot of, you know, just injury, you know, problems last year. And so just the internal, you know, holistic improvement of having people healthy, I think will help. But, you know, realistically, you know, they're probably, I'm expecting them to be fringe playoff team, better than last year, but not quite ready yet. You know, maybe somewhere in the hierarchy of the NBA of somewhere between, you know, 19 to 25, you know, just 10th or 11th seed in the Eastern Conference, which, look, you know, at that point is an improvement. And, you know, if there was ever a year to say, hey, you know what, let's just like have a little modest improvement, maybe it's next year because the draft is supposedly not as strong. And so you don't have to play for some top pick and you add one more top 10 pick and then you go from there and hopefully, you know, shoot for the playoffs. But back to your original question. So Josh Robbins of the Orlando Sentinel, you know, our buddy, Great Beard, by the way, he does this mailbag thing. And so he did this article and it was basically just answering, you know, a question in his mailbag, but it turned into something that I thought was pretty interesting. And he just did a kind of a dive into Clifford and his offensive philosophies. And I was like, okay, I actually didn't realize like PJ Augustine, while not the player, obviously Kemba Walker is in theory, is sort of a Kemba Walker light or Costco Kobe, if you will, or something. I mean, he plays
Costco
the same.
Kemba, yeah.
He's not at the all-star level, but I mean, they're like diminutive point guards that kind of have a chip on their shoulder, you know, a little undersized, pick and roll threats, floor spacers. You know, they don't, neither guy really turns the ball over. I mean, you know, they're very similar. And so I think I would expect Augustine to be used by Clifford just like, you know, he used Kemba Walker. And when I was at the press conference and Clifford was introduced, he kept going on and on about four out and one in and reminiscing about his time with the Magic. But I don't know with Orlando's roster if he could get four shooters on the floor at once to play four out and one in. And then I looked at what he did in Charlotte, and he didn't really even do four out, one in Charlotte because he started Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Dwight. And so it was more like a three out, two in. And that's probably what we'll get. But, yeah, I agree with you, Preston. I don't think the pace is going to be maybe what it even was last year. The Magic were a top 10 pace. You know, Frank Vogel made a big adjustment, and he said, you know what? Alfred Payton's trash in the half court. Let's just push, and go a million miles an hour. And they were. They were all year long a top 10, you know, pace team. I think they're going to slow it down more. You know, they slowed it down after they traded Payton. They're going to play a lot more half court, take care of the ball, rebound, like you said. If you guys haven't, that you're listening, if you haven't checked it out, check out on Orlando Sentinel, Robbins and his kind of breakdown of Steve Clifford and his offensive schemes and philosophies. I got a lot out of it. I enjoyed it.
Will, before we go over to you, I think this one four out thing could be a viable option with the Orlando Magic. Obviously, they're going to be doing a lot of tinkering, a lot of experimenting this season. With a lineup of Augustine, Fournier, Ross, I do think Aaron Gordon is going to improve his shot this year. I think he was around 33 or 34% last year, but he's been steadily increasing every year. And I think all it needs is 35, 36% for his numbers to exponentially improve. And then that's a threat. And then you put Mo Bamba at the five, who has a nice touch from the corner, or you just put a traditional center like Ken Burch or Nikola Vucevic in the center and spread out with those four guys. I think the 4-1 could work, Will.
It depends on the guys. Like Aaron said, you really got to get some consistent shooters. Man, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, is that not the most Magic player ever? He's a free agent in 2020, and like, get ready for it. But I don't know, man. I tend to agree with Aaron there. I mean, who do you say, like, if this guy is open, the other team goes, oh, crap. Fournier and Augustine and
Terrence Ross.
Ah, wow. Yeah, I don't know, man. Last year he was shooting before he got hurt. Now, unknown fact, man. Last year he was shooting, like, 32% from three, even when he was playing. Yep. No, granted, he played, 12 games, whatever. But he was having a pretty bad year from downtown. So it was kind of all lost in the fact that, like, Vooch was hitting 50% of his threes for whatever reason. But I don't even know if Terrence Ross is like that anymore, and he still has to come back from injury. So I don't know. Like, I don't think they have the personnel for it at this moment in time. A good solution for that would be to never draft another shooter. But I don't know. Like, I think that they're gonna eventually do something like that. I think that Charlotte is a pretty good model, though. I mean, like Aaron was saying, if you start a player like Kidd-Gilchrist, that's just a zero. Like, you just can't get anything out of that. Maybe he'll run a cut every once in a while and it'll look good. But I think that, like, it's, you know, that offense was really kind of built around Kimba. And, like, while Batum did his thing, he was kind of more or less pretty bad last year. But it's, like, the thing that's exciting for me for all of that is that defensively and in terms of, like, the scheme, everyone got it. Like, I feel like with Vogel, at no point did everyone know the playbook. Like maybe the playbook they knew, but, like, in terms of where their specific assignments should be, like, you guys remember Sad Vogel? Like, there were times where Vogel was just like, guys, what are we doing out here? It's March, and we still don't know how to, like, box out or, like, be in this spot for this play. So, like, I feel like that's the thing that I'm the most excited about, honestly. And this article that Robbins wrote, I'm, like, pulling up right now. It's like all the things that the Magic were trash at, like turnovers, especially untimely turnovers, defensive rebounding. I mean, I've heard so many. I'm sure I've talked about it on here. So many speeches from Frank Vogel about how like rebounding is like an effort thing, and like all these kind of little like subtle like, hey, Vooch doesn't rebound. Like and I mean, I don't know what the, you know, he's had, what, four or five head coaches now, if you count, like, Philly and everything. So, and no one, I mean, he's had, like, good rebounding years, but a lot of it was, like, offensive rebounds of him just kind of, like, hanging out and getting his own misses. So I think that if they can play fundamentally sound basketball, that would be phenomenal. Like, no terrible inbounding turnovers, getting rebounds that you should get, hustling to the ball. Like, if we could do that, I wouldn't care if we were 30th in offense. If it was like a product on the floor that, like, you would just get open shots and miss them, I'd be like, yeah, dude, awesome. Like, shot quality, let's get it.
The reason I bring up Terrence Ross is outside of the Orlando Magic uniform, he's never shot less than 37% from three outside of his rookie season. So hopefully he finds his shooting touch back under Steve Clifford. Aaron, let's ask this hypothetical question. What should the Magic be doing this year? Should they, you know, be challenging for a playoff spot, keeping these veterans on the roster? Should they continue the rebuild into next season? You referenced a meager draft class, but what is your overall intention? What would you deem a successful 2018-19 Magic season?
They're going to make, you know, a run for it like any, you know, professional team would. They're going to take it through the calendar year and reassess in January, and that'll give them a month before the trade deadline to kind of figure out their path. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many veterans in that locker room, you know, Augustine, Fournier, Vucevic, Ross, Simmons, with a veteran coach. You know, they're going to try to make the playoffs, just like I'm assuming every team in the Eastern Conference is going to have a little bit more pep in their step with LeBron James in the Western Conference. And, you know, then you just see what happens. I mean, Orlando got bit by the injury bug last year. It could be, you know, some random, you know, some other team next, you know, this next season. So you just kind of never know. I don't think it would be like the craziest thing out of the realm of possibility if, you know, we fast forward to January, February, and they're in the mix. But I also have confidence that if they're not, that, you know, Magic Brass will do what they need to do to move some pieces. You know, all of a sudden, Isaac Bamba will get more minutes, more shots, and stuff like that. So like right now in the summer, end of summer, there's not a lot going on, and you're going to see a lot of people arguing about who starts and depth chart. And I mean, honestly, like it just at this point, it doesn't matter because there's just so much time left. Everything's going to be reassessed, you know, in 5 or 6 months. And, you know, at that point, you know, I'm confident the Magic will, you know, they know who they are, right? That's why they didn't make any kind of panic trade or signing to get a point guard or something like that. Like, they know who they are. They're going to add, I think, one more lottery pick. And, you know, you never know. Maybe the ball will bounce their way. But if not, I really do think 2019-20 is their year to get back into the playoffs. Ross and Vucevic will be off the payroll. They'll be able to add one legitimate rotation player to go along with all their young guys and then just keep building from there. So I guess that was a long way to answer your question. No, I don't think they're a playoff team this year, but I do think they will try to be until they're not, if that makes sense.
The shade this man just threw. Well, yeah, Vuce and Terrence will be gone, so they'll be able to get one rotational player this good.
Like, I mean, like a big, like a $20 million person. They'll be able to overpay. How about that?
Oh, that's huge. Yeah. No, and I think that the playoffs this year is like kind of like fool's gold, and I'm really excited that Hennigan's not the GM anymore for that, because honestly, like, okay, let's say the team was Serge Ibaka. Like, that team could totally have made the playoffs this year if they just, like, made one more panic trade. And, like, I'm really glad that this front office is like, because there's nothing appealing about it getting swept by the Celtics, you know. Like, it's cool, like it would be like, oh man, playoff drought over or whatever, but like the amount of short-sightedness it would take to value this postseason when it would ultimately get you farther away from your goal, I think is like something that fans are really just like, oh well, LeBron's gone, we got to make a move. And it's like, no we don't. Like, LeBron's still in the NBA. Like, the Celtics are still in the NBA. Like, the Sixers are still – so, like, they would need to, like, have, I don't know, Melvin Frazier be, like, the next Kawhi Leonard and to, like, have a shot at something like that, you know? And so, like, I don't know. I'm pretty excited about where things are going. And the fact is, like, hey, man, once LeBron leaves, he's not really coming back. So these teams that are good here – I mean, with the exception of the Raptors, who might just be good for a year, who knows. But are these teams that are good at the top, like – are kind of going to be there for a minute. Philly and Boston are really young. So maybe instead of having like these established teams, like, you know, the Cavs and the Raptors, and then the Sixers and the Celtics are like kind of biting their ankles, it'll be like the Sixers and the Celtics are the established teams, and the Magic and, like, you know, Team X is going to be biting their ankles like 2 or 3 years from now. And that'd be really exciting.
Yeah, you never truly know. Obviously, with LeBron's departure, that A spot is now wide open. The Wizards are only one John Wall, Bradley Beal spat away from falling out.
Whoa. Now you know where this spat's coming from. It's not coming from either of those cats, man. It's coming from Dwight Howard, man. I'm telling you, Dwight's going to find a way to fight with the athletic trainer over there. He's going to fight with the cheer – well, not fight with the cheerleaders, but he's going to do, like – I cannot wait for that team. That team is like, there's like, you guys know how this works, man. We know, like, pretty much barring like some tragic incident, the Warriors are kind of like going to win the championship next year. But like, these little side stories are like what makes the NBA really interesting. And I cannot wait to watch as much Wizards basketball as humanly possible next year. I can't wait to like try to dissect, like, oh, look at this. Like, John Wall's not giving the ball to Dwight in the post. Oh, Dwight's been asking for 10 post touches this game. He's just going to give up on defense. I can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. Some other storylines. Maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo is not happy with the Bucks letting Jabari Parker walk. Maybe they struggle out of the gate. He's only got 2 years left on his deal. And I think Bill Simmons calls it pre-agency now, when superstars start negotiating their way out of town well before their deal has expired. Goran Dragic isn't getting any younger. I don't know what we can expect from Detroit or Charlotte this season. The Knicks certainly don't look like they're ready to contend. The Nets added a couple of nice pieces, as well as the Bulls. But really, I mean, that eighth spot is it's open for the taking. And should the Magic come out the first month playing well under Steve Clifford, cleaning up those turnovers and playing fundamental offense, the quotes Marvin Williams said upon the hiring were pretty telling. He said those guys are going to love playing for him, and they're going to play beautiful basketball. So we're going to see if Steve Clifford can do what Frank Vogel didn't, which is just instill a discipline in these guys and bring out the best of them. So with that being said, we're going to get to our newest segment. This was Aaron's idea, and we're going to wrap up with this. It's popular on the Twitter, and us couple of old fogies are going to keep this podcast hip, new, and fresh by instituting a new segment. That segment is called Aaron, What Are You Mad About Today?
Oh, you didn't say it with enough sauce either. It's like, what y'all mad about today? Oh, that's man. Kind of what we're looking
you
for.
Guys.
That's how far I am away police. From being cool.
can we just delete that from the podcast? Okay, so I guess what I want to kick off our inaugural segment about, so Nikola Vucevic is going into his last year of his contract, and you know, obviously it's probably assumed that he won't be back with the Magic, but you know, you never know. Jeff Weltman does love this guy as a professional and just kind of as an ambassador to the city and the organization, and so you never know. I mean, I know he is kind of heading into the later half of his career. He's not a young buck anymore, but he probably still has, you know, a few good years, and I don't think it's completely off the table that the Magic would want to bring him back. But regardless, you know, this is his last year of his contract he signed four seasons ago. And so I was starting to think, like, what is his legacy in Orlando? Because, Will, you actually brought this up a few days ago. He's kind of creeping up on some of the all-time Orlando lists, you know, rebounds and points and minutes. And, I mean, he's played, you know, a lot of minutes in the last 6 years, and he's been part of a few hundred, you know, losses, you know, some of the darkest times in Orlando history. And kind of, I guess what irks me a little bit is that I feel like from some Magic fans, you know, on OPP, on Twitter, I think Vucevic gets more than his fair share of blame and criticism for Orlando's losses, you know, ignoring the fact that he played most of his time with Elfrid Payton, you know, ignoring the fact that, you know, there was just a broken roster of brick, you know, layers on the wing. And, you know, in reality, he's probably like a fringe fifth starter / sixth man on a good team. I mean, he's maybe one of the top 100 or 150 players in the NBA. I mean, he's okay. That's pretty good. And, you know, when I see Vucevic discussed online, he is very polarizing. It's kind of like you either love him or you hate him. There's like no in between. And if you stick up for the guy, you're a Vucevic stan. And that's not me. But, you know, I'm looking at Basketball Reference. Like, I don't know what else to do. You know, this man, he was second on the team in defensive rating behind Isaac. You know, second on the team last year in defensive box plus minus behind Jonathan Isaac. First on the team in defensive win shares. I've watched him in 6 years improve defensively. And because he doesn't flex on people and beat his chest and scream and stuff like that, like, people think he's kind of soft and not good at defense, but that's not the case. Like, he's not a leaper, but he's a very intelligent player, and he's always in the right spot, and he can test shots and stuff like that. And so I don't know what it is about him. And look, there's nothing worse than fans that are biased for their own players, but I also think there's something to it that a lot of Magic fans, for some reason, are biased against Vucevic. I'm kind of neutral. I think he is not as good offensively as some people think he is. I wish he would get to the free throw line more. I wish he would stop taking long twos. You know, he stretched out to three this year, but he takes a lot of bad shots. But I think he's much better defensively than people give him credit for. You know, he plays center, where even the best players in the league, Anthony Davis, you know, still give up, you know, half of the attempts in the paint, you know, to their opposition. I mean, it's one of those deals, but, you know, online they call him number nine and they can't wait till number nine leaves. And I just don't think that's fair.
Who are you talking about, man? Shout him out, man.
Well, there's a whole group of them. And like, I distinctly remember when Vucevic broke his hand, Bismack Biyombo started the next game, and in like the first quarter of the next game, I think we held the Brooklyn Nets to like 18 points, and everybody's like, see, like Biombo should have been starting the whole time, and it's just like, oh my gosh. So I wonder what his legacy is going to be like. You know, again, you know, he was part of a lot of losing, and you know, that's a lot of his fault, but not totally his fault. And it just, that's kind of what I'm mad about today. I think some people sometimes are a little unfair negatively about Vucevic and his role on this team, and I think he's been a great ambassador for the organization. That doesn't mean I'm a Vucevic stan. I just appreciate that he's a solid average to above average, but not garbage NBA player.
Yeah, wow. Vuce is interesting. I'm looking at this tweet that you're talking about that I had, and okay, so he's number 9. Everyone else in the top 10 so he's one of 2 players to not make the finals on the top 10 in Magic scoring, and then the other one's T-Mac, and then he's like the only player to not make the playoffs. So, and my point about it was, if he stays here 2 more years, which is pretty unlikely, he's going to be the franchise's 3rd leading scorer if he keeps going at the pace he's at pretty comfortably. So that's like pretty crazy. I mean, and you're right. Like it's weird because he just doesn't. So there's like the Russell Westbrook / Colin Sexton method of just looking like you're trying really hard. And I've noticed that is like, do that all the time, because everyone will think that you're really good if you do that all the time. And conversely to that, shouts out T-Mac again. If you look like T-Mac, you must be a bum because you don't look like you're trying very hard. So I think like Vooch is like, he's slow. You know, the NBA has kind of moved away from him. I guess credit to him. He's developed his 3-point shot. But I think the issue is like the ship has kind of sailed on him. So I guess I get where fans are coming from there. Like, it's not his fault per se that we've done all this losing. But I think that fans like kind of hatred at this point is more of like, he doesn't really fit what we're trying to do. And I think that fans are more of like, okay, well, his touches should be going to Aaron Gordon or Isaac and everything. And I don't know if that's even correct. I'm just saying, like I was saying earlier, you know, if we trade him, the entire team changes. And I think now with Bamba, it changes for the better. I think it's absurd to say the team was better with Bismack Biyombo. But I think with Bamba, that's a different animal. So, I don't know, I get it. But I think that he, like you said, like there's just going to be a bunch of Twitter eggs like yelling at him whenever he comes back to town. It's just weird. I don't know.
All right. I guess that's going to wrap it up for today. Will, was there something that you were mad about today, or did you both just monologue about Nikola Vucevic?
Oh, sorry. I took it a little bit. Mine was, you guys might have seen my tweet about this, but like, I don't know why Magic fans are still defending Mario. Like, Mario wasn't very good, and like, maybe he'll be good on another team. But to say that, like, it's the coach's fault or it's, like, X, Y, and Z, you're like, oh, well, when he started and he was playing next to Rodney Purvis and Jamel Artis, he, like, scored a lot of points. It's like, all right, well, yeah, but, like, at the end of the day, like, when the Magic didn't pick up his option, it wasn't, like, it was kind of dumb from the sense that you want to have as much control over players as you can. But, like, it didn't really shock anybody because of how bad he had been. So, like, everyone's kind of trying to do revisionist history with him now. Like, oh, like, we should have done this. It's like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, would I rather have Mario than Jerome Martin? Maybe. But it doesn't matter because he doesn't want to be with the Magic anymore. If he did, he wouldn't be in New York City because their deal isn't that sweet. So, like, the fact that he looked at the Knicks and saw stability is really funny for both sides. Like, imagine looking at the New York Knicks and going like, wow, you guys need to save me from this crap show that is Orlando. And that's essentially what he did. So at the end of the day, like, I think that people, you know, like, give him a little bit too much credit. My thing was, like, transposing him with Fournier. It's like everyone jumps on Fournier and says that everything's Fournier's fault. Or at the end of, somebody said before the podcast, like a while back, that Fournier has, like, no value. And that's, like, insane to me. Like, I just think Fournier is really good. And if he were on the Pelicans, I would be so ecstatic. Like, so I think that people dump on Fournier because he's being asked to do things he can't do and, like, he shouldn't be asked to do. Whereas Mario's been asked to be, like, worse than a bench player, and he was bad at that. So it's like, at the end of the day, like, there are lots of Magic players I would like to have back on this team. Mo Harkless would be nice. Maybe even Tobias. Obviously, Victor Oladipo goes without saying. Etuan Moore would be really dope right now. We can go on down the list, but, like, Mario, not really on the list. So, like, it sucks that we gave him up for nothing. Maybe that wasn't the smartest move, but, like, it's done. Like, let's just move on because we're not really missing much.
Mario stands are coming after you.
That's what they've been doing for the last day and a half. Like, it's fine because they don't really have facts. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I mean, he wouldn't have had his quote-unquote breakout year, whatever people are calling it, last year if there weren't, like, literally three or four people in front of him injured. Like, so salary cap-wise, absolutely, that was the wrong decision to not pick up his fourth option because it was just peanuts. Like, the money, like, wasn't that big of a deal. But, you know, that decision was made at that point. So after that, I mean, like, why, like, what are the Magic supposed to do? Bring back Hezonja and then sit him behind Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon? Like, these people, yeah, you're right. There were these Hezonja stands, and I think it was, like, this thing to try to justify the pick. But it really wasn't that bad of a pick. Like, there's no glaring people right after Hezonja that was picked that was like, man, like, that was a horrible pick. You know,
well,
Miles Turner is a really good player, but again, you know, how many bigs at that point do they need? They acquired, you know, Ibaka and Biombo after that. You know, Justice Winslow is, in my opinion, just trash. I mean, he's so mean, bro. He is. Like, he's a less effective Marcus Smart, like an above average defensive player. He's a D-League offensive player. He is.
Okay, no, you're
Stanley
right.
Johnson?
You're right. I'm not disagreeing. It's
Stanley
just,
Johnson? Stanley
he's
Johnson?
The same thing,
I mean,
in a different
works.
Package.
So, unless you're talking about, I mean, what are we talking about? Unless you're talking about Devin Booker, who probably would have been perfect, but that would have been a big-time reach at number five, and there's just no way of knowing if they could have traded down, then it wasn't, like, that bad of a pick. Like, in theory, Hezonja had every opportunity to succeed. Like, people think he was at the end of the bench. He wasn't. Like, go look up JJ Redick's first 3 or 4 years. Like, that man was buried. Like, Hezonja got minutes his rookie year. He got minutes. Like, he just wasn't effective. And I wish him the best. But I don't think, covering the Magic, I don't think he's going to be somebody that we look back and is like, man, the Magic really made a mistake by letting him go.
And the thing is, at the end of the day, even if he's the best version of himself, would you like to play him over Isaac or Gordon? Because those are your options.
No.
Like, it's one of the two. So, like, maybe he's, like, the Tony Kukoc of this team. Best case scenario, but I don't see it.
For a second there, it sounded Tony like Will Kukoc was using a British accent. He's like, do you really think he was the best version of himself? Did anybody else catch that?
I didn't mean to if I did. I've been watching too much Game of Thrones, man. It's bad.
Fair point. All right. Let's wrap it up here. Thank you guys for listening. Again, follow our guys at Aaron Goldstone, at Go So Hard. Of course, we write for OrlandoPinstripePost.com. You can follow our site at OPP Magic Blog. And you can follow this podcast at DYB in Magic. And send all your questions there. If you have some podcast ideas you want us to talk about, we could definitely use your help. It's a quiet time in the offseason right now for basketball fans. And we also want to say thank you. Thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can retweet this, you can subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcast from. Aaron, what have you got on the docket at Orlando Pinstripe Post this week?
Nothing on the immediate docket. I'm going on a little family vacation up to Maine to the lake house up there. So I'm going to be there for a week, and when I come back, you know, it's going to sadly be back to school and back to work and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, this is kind of the quiet time, I guess, if you will, of the NBA offseason. But this is also, you know, pretty late in the summer where the Magic, you know, made a pretty solid deal and got Jonathan Simmons on the low. So you don't want to discount them, you know, but I think they're done. So I think it's safe to go on vacation and not have cell service for a few days and then come back and back to the real world and back to work. But, you know, football season will be around the corner, and then, you know, the Magic will be in training camp after that.
All right, William, what about you, sir?
Yeah, I'm just doing fan posts, as always. Get those in. Really appreciating them. Had a really good eight bold predictions one that I put up the other day. That was really good. Aaron, are you going to come out with your White Knight Vooch piece? I'm really excited about that.
I mean, yeah, maybe since I was so heated about it, maybe that would be a good, you know, opinion piece. I'm sure people would really back me on that. Not really, but
hey, just let me know, man. I gotta be near my computer so I can start, like, blocking people, because this is gonna get bad fast.
All right. Cool stuff, you guys. I'm Preston Ellis. You can find my work here at Orlando Pinstripe Post, thebirdrights.com, OTG. And thank you to OTG and Nothing But Net. They also host our podcast, Do You Believe in Magic? I don't know if you were aware of that, William and Aaron, but DYB and Magic is hosted on multiple networks. So now you guys know, if you are fans of OTG or Nothing But Net on Dash Radio, you can find us there as well. I think our time slot, I should know this. I think it's Wednesday. It's pretty late at like 11 p.m., but it could be Monday. So maybe I should do some research on that. This is your very well-informed host, Preston Ellis. Thank you guys again. We'll be back next week, hopefully with Zach Oliver in tow. Until then, this is Do You Believe in Magic? And we hope you do. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of Do You Believe in Magic? If you like what you're hearing, take a moment to share with your friends, subscribe, and rate our podcast on iTunes today.